Amen. That's a great song. One of my favorites. What a day that will be. But it'll only be great when we live for Him. You know, as a pastor, I do a lot of funerals. And the easy ones are those that have done right. The hard ones are those that didn't. What do you say then? If you're going to not do right and you're going to die, you need to leave me with notes what you want me to say, okay? Because it's hard to come up with good things when somebody doesn't do what's right. So I'm glad that you're here today and that we have a what a day that will be when we see Jesus Christ. Looking forward to seeing Him. And by the way, while we're in this life, we serve a very good God. And this morning, I want to draw your attention to the goodness of God. Now, on that note, the Redigers experienced the goodness of God this week. Elliot Daniel was born on the 8th day of the 8th month at 8:38 p.m. at 8 pounds. And mom and baby are doing well. He's in the hospital a little bit today, got a little jaundice, but hopeful to go home today. Rejoice with them. That's number 5. And I know they're excited to have him here and excited to see the Lord's blessing. And mom and baby are doing well. Saw them on Friday. That's one of the great goodnesses of God. But I want to draw your attention today. If you'll notice the passage that Brother Jeremy read, notice if you would, in Psalm 27, it said very carefully, I had fainted. I'd given up. I'd gone the wrong way. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So you and I have to have the faith to believe. Now I want you to understand, God is good. It's His character. It's His nature to be good. It's His nature to be good to everybody on earth. Now, when we choose not to do what's right, then God has to correct us. But the idea of that God is good is in His very being. It's intrinsic with Him. You'll notice, if you would, if you have your Bible, turn to me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. I want you to notice this. 1 Kings chapter 8, we're going to look at a couple of the verses about the goodness of God. I want you to see 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 66. On the 8th day, He sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went under their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David, His servant, and for Israel, His people. The goodness of the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 25. Nehemiah 9, verse 25. Nehemiah sort of reviewing back over the children of Israel coming to the promised land. This was the promised land and what they got. They took strong cities and a fat land, possessed houses full of all good wells digged, vineyards, oliveyards, fence, fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in Thy great goodness. You understand today? God's been good to all of us in this room. The other day I kind of sat for a while and thought about the goodness of God. I think there are times when all of us should sit down and think about the love of God, the grace of God. But the goodness of God is something that's intrinsic to the Lord. And by the way, you and I, we're going to see in a minute that that's supposed to be in us too, goodness, intrinsic goodness. In other words, our default is goodness. Our default is not self-defense. Our default is not defensiveness or attacking other people. Our default is goodness. It is one of the characteristics of God. Notice, His goodness gave us salvation. His goodness caused Him, He had to look at you and I as sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Take your Bible to Romans chapter 2, if you would. Romans chapter 2. I want you to see this verse. Romans chapter 2. He says in verse 3, now He's speaking to Jewish people and Gentiles that really are judging each other. And when I say judging each other, looking down on people, notice if you would in verse number 3. This is Romans 2 and verse 3. Or thinkest thou, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So you and I condemn somebody else and we do the same thing. He said, you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? The judgment of God is consistent. It's fair. In other words, he doesn't miss a thing. He says, I see your thoughts and my judgment is absolutely consistent. So you and I don't have to worry about, well, how did he get away with this when, you know, from time to time. Anybody ever been driving your car? The other day I was coming to church and I was listening to a song and I was just cheerful and upbeat. And I looked down and I saw a police officer in the middle of the road. And obviously he was doing radar. And what do you do when you see that? Now somebody tell me, what do you do when you see that? Do you just forget about it? Just keep right on going. Your immediate response is, oh, did I do something wrong? You look down at your speedometer. When you see a police officer, it's just sort of a natural reaction sometimes that you just want to make sure. Or you see a police officer on the other side of the road. What does everybody do? They just slow down. You see blue lights, the whole side of the other side slows down a little bit. It's just a caution that we see. Well, we need to live with caution with the Lord. And you know, I'm going through and I'm happy and I'm having a good time. And how many of you ever had a lead foot? How many know what that means? Okay. You're just not paying attention. You're rejoicing and having a good time listening to the song and look down and I'm doing over the speed limit. And I said, uh-oh. And I go right by the guy and I said, Lord, I deserve it. The guy didn't move. I said, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you. And Lord, bless that guy for hiccuping or praying or whatever he was doing that he didn't see. I was going a little too fast. Please, Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness. And so, you know what? I'm reminded is God is good to all of us all the time. God is good to us when we don't get things we deserve. And he's good to us when we, the other way, when he's better to us than we deserve. That's the goodness of God. It's his desire to be good to us. You have to believe that God wants to be good to you, or you're going to get discouraged. You know, one of the fundamental things about discouragement is we can't look down the road and see progress or see positiveness. When you believe in the goodness of the Lord, I know my God. He is goodness personified. He's going to be good to me. One of those things is he saw us in our terrible state and he said, look, I want to save them. I want them to heaven with me. Notice if you would in verse number 4, speaking to this man that's judgmental, or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering and his patience with us and his forgiveness to us, even though we don't deserve it. You'll notice in his long suffering, he just sort of overlooks things, waiting for us to come to ourselves. Notice, if you would, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Do you understand God's goodness? Ought everybody in this room look up and say, Lord, you've been good to me. Do you realize God sent his son to die for you out of his goodness? Nothing you did, nothing I did that was good enough to say, I'll send my son to pay for their sin. I'll send my son to take care of them because they're good people. No, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For all of sin, I was read this morning in my devotions, I was reading chapter 3 of Romans and chapter 4, and I was just reminded as I began to highlight them in Scripture, listen to this. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth and seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. Listen to this. Their throat is an open sepulcher. It's like an open grave. The poison of asp is under their lips. They say things that sting and burn and hurt people. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's us. And yet the goodness of God said, I see that, but I still love them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Folks, you got to put your mind around that. That while we're the grossest sinners on the face of the earth. This morning in Sunday school, I was talking about meat in a third world country. And how many of you have ever driven in a third world country, or you're riding in a bus or whatever, and you see meat hanging on the side of the road, and it's available for people, and they're sweating the flies off of it, and it's been out there for 4, 5, 6 hours. How many have ever seen that? Let me see your hand. Well, this morning I could tell everyone that has seen it because their face went, I can just tell their face curled up like, ooh, I would not want that. Can you imagine God looking at it? You, Sonny, you, Brandon, you, Micah, his face kind of curls up. No. He said, I'm disappointed in Brandon. Now, who wouldn't be? I understand that. But he said, but I love him. Who wouldn't, Micah? But I love him. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Do you understand God is good to everybody in this room? And there's no one that He's not trying to grab you by the hand and bring you to the foot of the cross where you would say, Lord, I see it. I see that You love me. I see that You paid my debt of sin. Listen to this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. When God said, thou shalt not steal, it was just to remind us that still you can see you're guilty. Listen to this verse before it. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. He just wants you to recognize, look, I did it. I'm sorry. A long time ago, I was coming to church and we were having a big lunch after church for all of the first responders around September 11th. And I was driving underneath an underpass, and a police officer was there. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but anyway, it was a police officer there, and he turns on his lights and comes after me. And I look at him and says, wait a minute, I was not driving too fast. What's going on? I didn't do anything wrong that I know of. So I pull over to the side of the road. Now, that's always one of the worst fears of a pastor. You're driving away to church, and the blue lights are shining right behind you, and your members drive by. Oh, hi, Pastor. Whoa. Wow. And I get to church, and that's the topic of church. Hey, Pastor, I got pulled over this morning. Did you know that? Anybody else? And nobody's going to say a word. You know, the thing that killed me, you guys watch too closely. I made a visit yesterday. Made more visits, but I made one particular visit to someone that had been sick and hadn't been to church in 2 or 3 weeks. And I went up, and I knocked on the door, and the door had a little bit of glass to it. And the gentleman came down and he looked at me and he said, I knew that was you. I said, how'd you know that? I saw your feet. I went, what is it about my feet, my shoes? He said, I know, I could just tell it was you. I said, Lord, I got to watch everything that I do. And so this police officer pulled me over for why? Because I got a white car. Maybe that's what he likes. All white cars. His car's white. He pulled me over for a white car. I don't know. He pulls me over and he says, do you know your tags are out? I went, ooh, I am so sorry. Didn't know that. You mean you didn't know we're out 2 months ago? I said, no, I'm sorry. I'll take my ticket. I should have known that. You know, I get busy. How many of you have ever let your inspection sticker pass or your license pass? Please let there be more than one person. Raise your hand. Let me see it. Okay, good. Oh, I see it. There's a lot of us sinners out there. That's good. I see some people helping them up. That's good. That's good. There's a lot of us. We do that. And you know what the guy did? He looked at me. Listen to this. And this guy, I said, look, he said, where are you going with your tags expired? I said, well, I'm going to church. He said, oh, really? I said, yes, sir. I said, hey, we've got a first responder, and you're pretty good at responding. I got a first responder. You come to church, and I got a steak dinner for you. He said, really? I said, yes. I get off of work about noon. I said, well, why don't you come to church, and then I'd love to have you. And he says, okay. So guess who shows up at church? I didn't want to tell the story about how I invited him to church. I wanted to, like I said, I went to his door and knocked on his door, but instead he knocked on my window, and that was a little different. And so I had to explain it. He sat out there and ate with us and had a good time. He said, "Thank you for inviting me." I said, "You're welcome, and I'll get that fixed." And so he gave me a warning. You know, he was good to me. It didn't have to be that way. But I just want you to notice something. God is good to you too. Because he grabs you by the hand in your sin. And everybody here is a sinner. Notice, listen to this verse. Verse 23. I read it this morning in my devotions. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know what? But it says, but God is rich in mercy. In his goodness, he provided salvation for you. Now look, everybody in this room, I seriously doubt in a group this size, everybody here has trusted Christ as Savior. But his goodness leads us to repentance. There's a God in heaven. There's a reason why Jesus died. Have you thought about that? There's a reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross such a heinous death. And it's because of you and me and our sin. And God says, "I love you. Will you trust my Son? Leadeth thee to repentance." His goodness. Now, you know, you might hear a sermon on hell and the judgment of God, and that is true. But it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. He said, "I want you to trust me as your Savior because I love you. I know you're a sinner. There's nothing hidden. I see it. I know your thoughts. But I love you." Folks, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. That's why anybody in this room ever got saved. It's because of God's goodness to you. We don't deserve it. But don't you notice not only that, but not only God's goodness leads us to salvation, but his goodness leads us into safety, into protection. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 50, if you would. Turn to Psalm 50. Won't you see this verse? Psalm 50. Notice with me, if you would. Psalm 50, we could look at several different verses, but notice Psalm 50 and verse number 15. "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." You know what he's saying? He said, "I'll deliver you. I care about you." Take your Bible and turn me, if you would, to Job 1. I want you to see this verse, Job 1. Notice with me, if you would, Job 1 just reminds you of this. Once you notice in verse 8, this is Job 1, verse 8. "The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Now, Satan is going up and down the earth seeking whom he may devour. We're told that in the book of James. The old devil is looking for you. Every teenager, he's looking for you to make a mistake so he can point out your mistakes to the God of heaven. You know, does anybody know what the old devil's doing right now? You may know what he's doing right this minute. Hold your finger in Job 1. Turn to Revelation 12. Notice with me, if you would. Revelation, last book of the Bible. Revelation 12. Notice this. Look at me, if you would. Verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out." Out of where? That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10. "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying," voice in heaven, "now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." You know what the old devil is doing today? He is not running around with a pitchfork and a forked tail trying to get you to do what's wrong. He's watching everything you and I do and accusing us before God if you're saved. He's pointing out every evil that you did. Now notice, if you would, in verse, now go back over to Job chapter 1. Notice, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" He's been watching. He looked at Job and he says, "Have you considered him?" He's doing the right thing. And notice what the old devil said. Verse 9. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for naught?" Does he do what's right for no good reason? Watch this. Verse 10. "Hast thou not," I have it underlined in my Bible, "made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. What does the goodness of God do? Puts safety around us. Puts a hedge around you and says, nope, you can't give them that. Nope, you can't make him that sick. Oh, well, you can give him a flu, but you've got to make him well in a week. Oh, you can let him have a sore throat, but nope, that's it. He puts hedges about us. Do you understand that the goodness of God puts a hedge around everybody in this room? So if you're saved today, if you've been led to repentance, if you've trusted Christ in salvation, then God says, I'm going to put a hedge around you, and everyone's got one. You might say, well, my fence is down. No, it's not. You might have been having some difficult times, but God puts that fence just like he did Job. He puts it up and says, nope, that's as far as you can go. Because Satan, the reason I know that is because Satan would destroy every person in this room that's saved if he could. If you don't believe me, look, if you would, in verse number 6 of chapter 2 of Job. Job 2, 6. Just one page over. The Lord said unto him, Satan, he is in thine hand. I'm taking down all the fences. But watch this. But save his life. So the fence was around everything about Job. All of his houses and lands, his children, his wife, his own health. And the old devil said, well, he's only doing what's right because you've got a hedge about him. The safety of God is always there. It's always there for everybody in this room. Now, that does not mean that God doesn't allow Satan to tempt us or to test us as a test. And you and I might say, well, why does he do that? Well, let me ask you this question. Why do you think all the children don't want school to start? You want to know why? Because after about 2 weeks, there's going to be a group of tests. English, science, math, history. And they're going to say, they're going to see how much you know, how much you listen in class, how much you learned. And everybody, I wish we didn't have tests. How many of you like school a lot better if there were no tests at all? Let me see your hand. Let me see that. Look at all these kids. Look at this. Hey, you know what? It's the tests that nobody likes. But the tests are what cause you and I to grow. So young people, I know nobody likes a test. I don't like tests. Nobody likes tests. But God allows Satan to test us so we can grow. But God never, ever lets Satan go too far. He puts a limit on it. So here's Job. He first puts a limit around all of us. I said, well, I can't touch him. You put a hedge about it. And God's put a hedge around all of us in this room. He provides safety out of his goodness. Now, folks, have you ever wondered why you were born here and not in the Amazon River basin, where the Indian tribes on the bank of the river still run in loincloths and no shirt? They have no church. They don't know much about the Lord except what they see in the stars. Have you wondered why God put you here? I don't know, except it's his goodness. He's put a hedge about us in this room. And he puts a hedge around Job, and then all of a sudden the Lord takes up the hedge. But he says, okay, Satan, you can have everything, but spare his life. You know what? The reason I know there's a hedge around everybody in this room, because you're still alive. God has said to Satan, nope, leave Kirk alone. Can't touch his life. Nope, you can't touch his life. Nope, you can't touch his job. Nope, you can't touch his house. Nope, you can't touch his husband. Nope, you can't touch his wife. God himself puts a hedge around us. Safety is of the Lord by his goodness. And God is good to us. And I promise you this. If God is good to us, he doesn't give us any more tests than are absolutely necessary for us to grow. You know, it's a bad teacher that says, I'm going to give them kids a test they can never pass. That's a bad teacher. It's a bad parent that says, I'm going to test my kid and I know he can't pass the test. God never does that. He says, okay, Satan, you can have him, but I know it. He's going to pass the test. The goodness of God is around everybody in this room. I urge you today to look at the goodness of God and be thankful. Notice, if you would, quickly, the goodness of God, and I love this one, allows us to enjoy His sweetness. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 5. I want you to see this very quickly. Romans 5. I want you to notice there's something about the goodness of God that is amazing. And notice, if you would, verse 4. If you got 50 in your book of Romans, you got the wrong book, okay? Notice Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Notice this: therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And look, if you would, I love this passage, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You have access to the sweetness of God. Now, I want you to notice I want you to listen to this verse, if you would. I'm just going to read it to you very quickly. This is Psalm 104. Listen to this. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. You know, one of the goodnesses of God is there's a sweetness. There can be a sweetness between us and Him. Now, I want you to understand something. There's a circle. Let's put a circle around where, you know, there's a lot of people. There's when I'm meeting people out in the world, or I'm meeting people with, let's say I'm out getting a meal at a restaurant. Somebody comes up. There's this circle around. And I don't just let somebody come up and sit down beside me and start talking. There's a sort of a circle around me. They're called acquaintances. There's people I know. And then there's a circle around where there's friends. And that's certain people that I like. And they come in, sit down, and we talk together. Maybe I go out and have a meal together with them. And I have a lot of friends. But then there's this one circle, the inner circle. That's where there's sweetness. There's a closeness that is heavenly. It is between a husband and wife. It is between a sinner and his Savior. It's sweetness. There's a tenderness that's there that nobody else can have. There's a warmth that's there because you let them in, but greater than that, they let you in. Can you believe that the goodness of God lets Scott Devane into His sweetness? To the closest spot to the heart of God. Now, it's not just everybody, but it's available to everybody. Listen, David said it one more time. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I'll be glad in the Lord. You don't get close to the sweetness of God without spending time, without putting everything else aside. And by the way, husbands and wives, you don't have a sweetness between you without it costing you all the other things in life. When I say that, Those are not the priorities in life. That's when your job can't be first if you want sweetness with your mate. Children can't be first if you want sweetness with your mate. Money can't be first if you want sweetness with your mate. You can have sweetness with your mate whether they're well or sick. You can have sweetness with your mate whether they're rich or poor. You can have sweetness with your mate, but you're going to have to open up your heart and let them in to where they can hurt you if they so choose, but you trust them not to. The goodness of God says, I will never hurt you. I know, though, you'll hurt me. But I love you anyway. That's goodness that you and I can't even imagine. How many of you have ever had a wrong thought about the Lord? Well, I don't know why He doesn't answer my prayers more. Well, I don't know why He did this to me. Well, I don't know why God does this. And yet He says, my goodness is always towards you. I am going to be good to you no matter what. Because I love you. Do we believe that? I had fainted. Psalm 27 says, unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. So do you get close to the Lord and His sweetness and open up your heart and say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. I want the sweetness between you and me. That sweetness is priceless. It's between the God of heaven, the creator of all the universe, and you. Is that not goodness? That God would allow that? I allow you access to me. You know, when we're trying to build or get land approved in Loudoun County, we call one of the supervisors. Supervisors are not that big of stuff. There's 9 of them. But you try to get an appointment with one of them. They're busy. Oh, no, 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 no. Do you understand? A supervisor is not God. And God says, I'll give you access. Come, let's have sweetness together. Let's talk about the most intimate things, the sweetest things in all the world. I want you to know, I know the thoughts that you had last night. I know what you did. And we can look at Him and say, oh, Lord, I know and I'm so sorry. I don't want that to be between us. Would you forgive me? I want things to be sweet. You know what? I did that a million times with Susan. Because I wanted the sweetness. Do you have sweetness in your home? God didn't make marriage for a sentence. It's not a life sentence. It's meant for sweetness. It's the closest relationship between you and the Lord and its representative of Christ and the church, His bride. Do you understand? It's a closeness there. And if there's not that sweetness there, then you need to take a look at your own heart and say, what have I done to push out the sweetness? Because God says, my goodness is out there to you. And I want you to think about it, meditate, so we can have sweetness together. I'm thrilled. And I want you to notice, if you would, Psalm 27. We're going to close. Notice Psalm 27. Notice this. Psalm 27. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Learn to be patient with the Lord. Knowing His character, folks, that's the way we get the sweetness. That's when we wait on Him. Notice, be of good courage. You don't get discouraged. You don't get depressed. You don't get down the dumps. You know Him. He said, I'm going to be good to you. It's my character. Now, the last thing I want you to see is, you and I as children, we're supposed to be good too. How many of you know, how many of you can tell me the fruits of the Spirit? Can somebody give me one of the fruits of the Spirit? Now, I want you, this is sort of a test, but give me some of the fruits of the Spirit real quickly. What are some of the fruits of the Spirit? Anybody want to know? What's number one? Yes, sir. Long-suffering. That's very good, Mr. Deal. Somebody else. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Love. Okay. What's another one of the fruits of the Spirit? Yes, ma'am. Joy. Okay. What's another one of the fruits of the Spirit? Let me tell you. Yes, sir. Peace. Okay, good. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, something else. Pardon me? Patience. That's the one I don't like. Okay, there's somebody else. Patience, you're right. But there's one other one. There's one other one everybody keeps forgetting. Yes, ma'am. Kindness. Okay, something else. Goodness. Okay, look, take your Bible and turn to Ephesians, if you would. Chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice, if you would, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 9. Notice quickly, Ephesians 5, 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all what? Goodness. You know, if we're going to be in His image, we've got to have goodness too. Intrinsic goodness, where we overlook the sins of others and we're just good to them. Well, how can you be good when somebody's bad to you? Love your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully treat you despitefully. Pray for them. You know, I'm reminded, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a woman and her husband, and she sees a preacher walk down the street, or a man that's walking down, and he looks like someone that is of a spiritual nature, and she says to him, says, hey, she goes out and stops him and says, would you come have dinner with us? He said, oh, no, I'm busy. And the Bible says she constrained him to come and have dinner with him. He had dinner with him, and he went on his way. She was good to him. You know what she does? She looks at her husband, and she said, honey, could we build on an addition under our house and put in a table and chair and a lampstand and a bed and let him come? And when he comes by, stay with us. Who does that? Someone that's got the goodness of God in their heart. They think about other people more than themselves. That Shunammite woman was known all over Scripture for her goodness. And by the way, God gave her the one thing she wanted more than anything else in the world, her greatest dream, because of her goodness. Today, God has been good to you. Salvation is at your fingertips. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Safety, protection, the God of heaven puts a hedge about everybody in this room. Have you thanked Him for that recently? Do you realize you're alive here today because of the goodness of God? And then, do you realize God is good to you? And I'm reminded by letting us have access to Him, sweetness, closeness. The closest relationship on the face of the earth can be between you and your God. And nothing can take it away except sin. Do you have that this morning? But the evidence of all of that is that you are waiting on the Lord and trusting the Lord is the fact that you are good to other people. Your goodness, the fruit of the Spirit, is in all goodness. Are you good today to people? Without respect of them, good back to you. Are you in the image of Christ? Are you growing your choice today? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. Ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you need to come this morning, the goodness of God is there for everybody in this room. If you don't know that, I encourage you to come this morning and trust Him as Savior. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Dear Lord, help us to see Your goodness in a mighty way. Help us to be good as instruments of Your care and examples of Your goodness. In Your name we pray. Amen.